Gavin Williams, a near no-hitter yesterday. We talked about it in the entire first hour. Go back and listen to it, 92.3thefan.com, as well as on the free Odyssey app by using the rewind function. And I think you're going to want to be listening. You're going to want to be listening coming up here very shortly because, boy, Lima, you gave him a bit of a taste about going after the afternoon show, in their opinion, right after the near no-hitter. I did take a little bit of umbrage. Not with them personally, just the opinion that they had about the near no-hitter and the way Stephen Vogt handled it. That coming up. Also, whether or not you can jinx a no-hitter from your couch, from a convenience store, from the stands, from behind a microphone. 54% have said, yes, you can jinx a no-hitter slash perfect game. You can do that. And there are a lot. I cannot believe this. Like, first off, I before we get to the training camp report, the guy's untouchable. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say a no-hitter's going on during a no-hitter. Because, again, you can sit there and talk about journalistic integrity. Well, I ain't no journalist, too. I'm not talking about wars. I'm not Jim Mikulski at the White House. Like, no, don't matter. But like, guys, if like, hey, Matt Underwood's been doing it a long time. If he says it, no big deal. If Tom Hamilton says it, no big deal. Are the baseball gods going to say, you guys said it, so now Gavin Williams doesn't get it? No, he put one over for Juan Soto. Juan Soto hit a home run off him. Juan Soto looked like a total ass pimping the home run, and his own fan base is calling him out for it when they have lost four in a row, got swept by the Guardians, which they're fighting for a wild card spot right now, the New York Mets are. You're paying them $765 million. You're pimping home runs down 4-1. You got the own guys over in WFAN ripping them this morning for that. But Juan Soto didn't hit one over the fence because somebody said, hey, Gavin Williams has a no-hitter going. Still, I won't say it. I won't say a guy has a no-hitter if a no-hitter's going on or a perfect game, anything like that. So I think it's time for a training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
People are calling this a hostage situation. you said Hugh. I almost
Hugh
said
Douglas.
Hugh,
yeah.
I almost said Hugh Downs. Hugh Downs called
2020.
Barbara Walters said, nothing to see.
And John Stossel.
This is Friday night is going to be a referendum, and it ain't going to be on Shedeur Sanders. Friday night's going to be a referendum on Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns. You can see this happening right now. No first team reps yesterday in the joint practice for Shedeur Sanders, but he's going to be going up against first teamers. There's a lot of people who are upset about that. You know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm a protectionist. I do not treat him like a fifth round pick. I treat him like he should have been taken. I think that this is a high ceiling guy, and almost you could look at him as almost a gift if you want to. We talked a lot about gifts yesterday. I do not want to put him in harm's way. I don't just say, hey, he's a fifth round guy, whatever. No, I think there's a possibility. So I take this guy and I want to put him in the best position possible. I can't get some work in yesterday getting ready for all this. Not some. Hey, the practice isn't about the game. The practice is about the season. That's why Joe Flacco got those reps. So, again, I know we got called out for saying the quarterback competition is over. Do you think the quarterback competition is over?
Well,
the quote-unquote competition is over?
I thought it was over, by the way. And then I talked to Zach, who was down there in Carolina yesterday, Zach Jackson of The Athletic. And he said after the rain stopped, it was Kenny Pickett going through the walkthrough with the ones, which led him to believe that next week's all going to be all about Kenny Pickett, that this was Joe Flacco's week. Next week was Kenny Pickett, meaning, guys, the Shedeur Sanders stuff is done. There's no talk there if you're using your joint practices to get Flacco ready and then Pickett next week. Then that really is the quarterback conversation we should be having. Meaning we did jump to conclusions last week when Pickett went down with the injury. I thought it was over. I thought, guys, it's over. Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback week one against Cincinnati. And this talk about, you know, man, Dylan Gabriel, they love Dylan Gabriel, but what about Shedeur Sanders? The Shedeur Sanders stuff is not happening, period. It's not happening, period. Like, we are all guilty of, yeah, using Shador Sanders' name to drive content. And yes, anytime you mention Shador Sanders, whoever is running your social media is loving life. Their eyeballs get really big and they're like, come on, pump out that content. Let's go. National guys. You're seeing all the national guys talk Shador. Meanwhile, what are they really doing? And you can tell by the behavior of what they're really doing, which is, all right, Joe Flacco gets this week. Kenny Pickett gets next week. That's the quarterback competition, and that's the end of the story. And they're going to choose a starting quarterback based on that. Who knows when we're actually going to be tipped off as to who that is. But that's the mistake we've been all making, me included.
Yeah, I think you're right about that to a certain level, and maybe I'm wrong about that, and we'll get more into that. But I do think that I'm getting nervous about tomorrow night, and it's less about Shador Sanders than it is about Kevin Stefanski, because I got at least another year of all this, and I've tried to, in so many ways, go, okay, if it were me, what would I do? If it were me, what would I do here? And I like Kevin, let's be honest. I do like the guy personally. So there is a little bit of cloudiness to that. I will admit that to everybody out there. However, I mean, if he goes out there and he doesn't look good, do I get mad at him or do I get mad at the Browns? Because I think that you have a guy who has a high ceiling. I think you have a chance here.
Well, or
I'm seeing a storyline that can play out, and I'm a dreamer, but damn it. Like, if you're not gonna try to cultivate that the best way possible, even though I've had a lot of people outside of a couple of people on ESPN and things like that who have said that they're handling this the right way with him, I can find myself Monday, if he goes out there and struggles on Friday, going, well, why weren't you working with him then? Why weren't you doing these things with him then? I mean, this, you know what you have in Joe Flacco here. You know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco. And it's hard for me to see it, because the rationale would be, Kenny, you got to prepare for the season. The joint practices are to prepare for the season. That's why Joe takes those reps. But damn it, I got a game on Friday.
You know what I do wonder,
Kenny?
And
I would like him to have something with the first team before he goes out there and plays against some first teamers.
Because you're right, nationally.
Thank you.
Nationally, well, here's the part. Part of it I agree with, part of it I disagree with. The part I agree with is you're 100% right. You are tapped into what the reaction is going to be after that game when all eyes are on him to see if he should have been a first-round pick or if he shouldn't have been drafted at all, right? Because that's what the national media wants to do. They want to pounce on one or the other, right? Whether or not this guy even belongs in the NFL, or whether every team made a mistake passing up on him time and time again, especially those teams that are in desperate need of a quarterback. But the other part of it where I think you might be wrong, like me and you are having... Go look at our videos, Kenny. We're screaming at each other.
I know.
About the handling of the quarterbacks and Shador Sanders.
Yes.
And the Browns, they might be sitting here going, your goals are not our goals. Our goals are figure out who the starting quarterback is for week one. Is it Joe Flacco or is it Kenny Pickett? And all this other stuff is, yeah, we want to develop these other guys and figure out who's going to be the backup and what's going to be the hierarchy of quarterbacks. We have to land on a depth chart. And right now, Shador Sanders is fourth on the depth chart. You guys are screaming at each other over who's going to be quarterback three and who's going to be quarterback four. Like, that's on you.
Because
is what I wonder if the Browns are looking at it.
But that's fine on them, because I look at it from a different... I have to keep my feet on both sides of the sidewalk here, where I see what they're doing in the building, but also I know what the fans are feeling. And a lot of fans are feeling like, hey, you're not going to be that great anywhere, so we might as well be working towards something. And working towards something is working towards a young quarterback who might be able to have fallen in your laps and given you a chance. No matter what you think of the guy, you cannot tell me that you... I'm not even yelling at you about this. You can't tell me you don't sit there and wonder, what if? What if he is our fifth-round guy that ends up being a great... What if, even if he's just Dak Prescott, which Dak Prescott isn't just Dak Prescott, he's still a franchise quarterback. I would love to go back and have those arguments that we should be having about a franchise quarterback. Can we get over the hump? You can't expect him to be Tom Brady. I'm not going to compare him to Tom Brady. I'm not going to compare him to some of the other legends that have been taken later. I'm not going to compare him to Johnny Unitas or anything like that unless he gets to that point.
Yeah.
But I can compare him to a fourth-round draft pick in Dak Prescott, maybe, and say, can he reach that point where we're sitting there going, can he get over Josh or Lamar or Joe? Can he do this, that, and the other? I would like to get to that chance, and I think a lot of fans are wondering the same thing as well. I know we got to crawl before we walk, but damn it. I like you got to put him on the floor and at least let him crawl with the first team for one moment.
I just wonder if they are telling you, they're telling the reporters in some of the leaks how far behind Shedeur Sanders is in all the little things that matter to them. All the little things like the huddle, like getting guys lined up, like getting the calls in, establishing that voice within an offense. Okay, all those little things. And then they're also showing you by who's not getting the first team reps, who's not even barely getting the second team reps. Hey, he's going to start this preseason game, and who's not getting the reps? They're telling you and they are showing you that Shedeur Sanders is not within the plan for this year. Maybe because, you know, the Browns have started five quarterbacks, you know, the last years. Maybe he gets in eventually, but he's not in the plans. He's a fifth round pick. They're treating him like a fifth round pick. They are telling you he's a fifth round pick in all their actions. And yet we're screaming about preseason game number one.
Well,
when in essence, they're going, guys, dummies, listen, we have a quarterback competition and he's not in it.
But
he's not
asking,
in the quarterback competition.
But when you're telling me to do that, then you're asking me to trust them. It's very, very, very hard to trust them done at the quarterback position.
With you there.
So now I'm starting to doubt guys that I want to trust. I want to trust Kevin. I want to trust his staff. I want to trust Andrew Berry. I'm sorry I'm moving around the microphone as I hit the table. I'm sorry about that. But damn it, I am passionate about this opportunity here. I feel very passionate about this guy where maybe he can give you something out of it. And what's better time to find out than maybe tomorrow night? But
maybe
I'm feeling more
not,
and more tomorrow night's going to be a referendum
not,
on Kevin.
Maybe they're not as... But think about what you're saying. Preseason game number one against Carolina.
Preseason game number
after
one,
they
I know.
Had a practice, after they had a joint practice, maybe they're just not that passionate about Shedeur, and maybe they just don't care that much about preseason game number one.
216-474-0092. Is tomorrow night a referendum on Kevin Stefanski? Tomorrow night, does it become a referendum on Kevin Stefanski because of how this has all been handled, whether you think it's been managed well or mismanaged or whatever it might be? Has this become a referendum on Kevin Stefanski for a lot of folks? I think a lot of the country is going to be watching this game tomorrow night. It's available on NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of people who are interested in preseason football or interested in Shedeur Sanders are going to be watching this. And if he goes out there and he struggles, if you know anything about the history of this preseason or this training camp, I think a lot of people are going to be going, what have you done to help him? What have you done to do it?
But which is kind of funny because
it is
Jerry
it is.
Judy's not playing, right? The number two wide receiver as of right now is Cedric Tillman. He's not playing. So you're talking about whether a preseason game where you're not really playing your best guys is a referendum on the coach. And it's all because of Shedeur Sanders and the hype machine and the name and how big he is off the field. And I am wondering a little bit here, just listening to our conversation and just thinking about the last 2 weeks of me and you fighting about Shedeur, not even really fighting, like we've agreed on most of the Shedeur stuff, whether our priorities are so far off what the real football team's priorities are.
Clearly it is. Clearly it is. And this is... So what happens when you don't have an identity.
Boy, that is
true. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're intending
to
do.
And they don't do a good job of communicating right?
If they would have traded Myles Garrett, let's go down this road for a minute, shall we? And I'm going to get to the phones here in a second. 216-474-0092. Is tomorrow night a referendum on Kevin Stefanski, or am I starting to lose my mind here? About last night coming up at 7:45, which really becomes about yesterday afternoon with what Gavin Williams did. Fantastic. I mean, wonderful. If they traded away Miles and got those two first-round picks that we all talked about, if they weren't playing Shedeur Sanders, or even if Dylan Gabriel were healthy and they weren't playing Dylan Gabriel, what would you be doing? What would you be doing? Wouldn't you be losing your mind? Because what's this season about? And I think what makes a lot of fans upset, I'm not just talking about the Shedeurians out there who really love Shedeur Sanders and are clicking into the station for the first time, they're upset with it because they already don't trust the Browns and they think their guy's getting screwed. I think what upsets a lot of fans is going, what do you stand for? What do you stand? You just don't want your time wasted. Don't waste my time. If you're going for it, go for it. But why do you have four guys in your quarterback room that are healthy? Well, now five. Why do you have five guys in your quarterback room that are healthy?
Well, six total quarterbacks.
Well, I said healthy.
Level, yeah,
I said
the healthy. Level of health is debated.
Well technically, yeah.
You believe the conspiracy theories?
You got six guys in your quarterback room, for crying out loud. What are you doing? And because you don't have an identity, because you're trying to do two things at once, you're really going to get nothing accomplished. And that's why yesterday or tomorrow, I think, becomes a bigger deal than any preseason game should ever be. It becomes a way bigger deal. Because if he goes out there and he throws 8 of 9 for 98 yards and conducts the offense well, I think a lot of people are going to be going, feeling good about him. Now let's see where he goes here. And you might go, okay, maybe Kevin has been handling him well. Because you're playing against some ones. You're going to have some ones with you out there. But you're playing against some ones. So if he goes out and he plays well throughout the first half of the game, I think a lot my fears might be calmed a little bit. I think some fans' fears might be calmed. And then we just go through the next challenge of where is he on the depth chart, where he should be on the depth chart. But I'll let next week get here when it gets here. It's a long preseason. So if he goes out and he struggles, I don't think it becomes a thing about Shador Sanders and wasting time with Shador. I think it becomes something on Kevin Stefanski going, where's this QB guru we keep hearing about?
Yeah.
You're supposed to take magic wands and make QBs
Kenny,
better. Where are you at?
I'm just listening to you, and I keep thinking of, like, what if Kevin Stefanski could actually be honest, which we know they don't do a lot of that. You know, you don't have Sean Payton here, who seems to be very honest when he's talking about what's good and what's bad on his team. We don't really get a lot of that. It's like the gamesmanship of keeping everything a secret as if, you know, the rest of the league is dialed into what the Browns are doing, ready to swoop in on a moment of vulnerability as if they don't just beat us fair and square anyway. I think Kevin Stefanski could be like, Ken, what more do we need to tell you? He's fourth. We got three guys that you don't even like ahead of him.
I think that's what he would say.
And we're not giving them reps, and we're only throwing them out there. I know this harkens back to our argument yesterday. Did he earn it or was it just given to him? But like, he's only starting this game because two guys ahead of him got injured. What more do we need to tell you? Do we need to hold you and shake you to understand what's going on?
Apparently you do. Apparently I need to be like the fat kid in Billy Madison. That's the only thing I can do. That's a hell of a pull, isn't it? Thank you very much. If I got live, I'd laugh about it.
The visual of it, just
thank you
the
very
two
much.
Of you morphing
Kevin
into each other.
Taking me by the big fat cheeks going, what do you want me to do, Ken? What is it you want me to do? I want you to give the guy a fair shake because I don't think you're going to do very much this year. Not a lot of people think you're going to do very much this year. You took two quarterbacks this year. You got two first-round picks next year. Don't tell me you think you're going to do a whole lot this year. So if everybody doesn't think they're going to do a whole lot this year, then I say, hey, give him a chance. See what it is, because he's not an everyday run-of-the-mill fifth-round choice. We have to acknowledge that. You cannot just say, and this goes back to yesterday and what our argument was, you cannot just keep saying, fifth round, fifth round, fifth round, fifth round, fifth round, fifth round, fifth round. No, it was an historic drop for many, many different reasons, true, false, whatever it might be. It was an historic drop where a lot of people in the know think that he could go out there and be a franchise quarterback for somebody. I can't just treat a guy like that as a fifth rounder. I can't do it. So I want to see what he has before we go and we start doing, and a little bit of this is business, and a little bit of this is what you and I do. I would like to see a little bit of Shador Sanders before we start just going, okay, guys, Lenora Sellers, 216-474-0092.
After
can we
next
talk
week,
Arch Manning's parents into letting him come out of the draft? 216-474-0092.
This could be it. I hope people understand. This could be it for Shador for a while, because what is next week? What
next is next week's week? Philadelphia. You
next
got
week,
two joint practices there.
And Kenny Pickett's back healthy next week, unless there's some kind of a setback, but he was doing stuff with the ones yesterday. So after this week, Shador Sanders, as a conversation piece, as should he get more chances? Should he? It's kind of over here in Cleveland. Now, nationally, they're still going to bring it up every day because, you know, they're looking at it from a worldview and 30,000 feet, like Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Those are your options. Give this kid the chance. But here, they're done. They're done. Shador is even going to be practice squad next week, like getting them ready for games. Is that what he's going to be at this point? Because We're done. We're getting close. We're already, after this week, we're halfway through, and it comes at you fast. There's three preseason games all jumbled into one.
216-474-0092. Peter in Eastlake, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. I don't care how he came to start. I'm looking forward to it because I didn't think he was going to play much in the preseason anyway. But from a national pundit point of view, it's going to be a lose-lose because if he doesn't play well, the uproar is going to be, they're not giving him opportunities, which is why he's struggling. They're sabotaging him. And if he plays really well, then they're going to see, he needs to get more opportunities. They're not handling him well.
That's true. So let me make a...
And they're not going to give Stefanski credit if he looks good.
Well, let me make a solemn promise to you. Let me make a solemn promise to you, Peter, okay? If he plays well on Friday, Shador, if he plays well on Friday, I will come in here Monday. I will be excited. But I will also say, see, we can trust the process here. Let's calm down. Let's put our swords down for a moment. Let's trust the process of what's going on. Clearly, Shador is buying in because he hasn't said anything negative about anything. Certainly. So let's see.
The whole sabotaging thing is such a poor argument anyway. None of these people are using critical thinking skills. The argument is they're sabotaging him. He hasn't gotten a ton of first-team reps, so he's not prepared. He hasn't played a ton with the first team. But who has he played a lot with since he's been a Brown the last few months? The twos, threes, and fours. Who's he playing with? The twos, threes, and fours. So, do you think that this is actually just an opportunity that fell into his lap because some guys are hurt and he gets to play most of the game? I'm excited to watch it. I don't ever buy too much into preseason games, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. I mean, let's see. Maybe their process is correct and they're just like handling him with the little kick gloves and letting him come up to speed and learn from the guys in front of him. I don't know. I just don't think it's a big issue. I just, like, we stink. We're figuring stuff out. Leave us alone and let us, like, we won three games last year and had the second overall pick we had to trade down. Like, the Browns aren't going to be good. Like, let's just figure it out and just leave us alone, okay? We stink. We know we stink. Like, it's fine. It's fine. Everyone's freaking out for no reason.
Peter, thank you very much for the call. It is hard not to freak out because I find myself, again, I just think you have more of a ceiling with Shador Sanders than you do anybody else that's healthy in the room. Or that's not even healthy, anybody else in the room. Deshaun Watson, I mean, his career in Cleveland is basically, we're running out the clock right now. Joe Flacco's 40. Kenny Pickett, okay, he exists. Dylan Gabriel, everybody thinks he was overdrafted. Tyler Huntley is a camp hand. So who do I have a chance? Who do I have my best chance with, my highest ceiling with? Unless you're that big of a Dylan Gabriel supporter, it's Shador. So if it's Shador, I'd like to see more Shador. So I will promise Peter and I'll promise everybody else. If Shador goes out there and plays well on Friday night, tomorrow night, I'll come in on Monday and I'll try to calm the waters and say, now let's calm down a bit. Let's trust Kevin Stefanski a little bit more. Clearly, he's doing something right. Shador hasn't said anything bad about it. He seems like he's gone along right with the program, everything. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. Clearly, people do. But let's calm down a little bit. I'll feel a lot better if he plays well. However, I still get nervous because Lima showed me some of the stats of some of the guys Kevin Stefanski has rolled out there in preseason games before and how much they've actually thrown the football. Tone, you have those numbers. Do you have them in front of you right now?
Yeah. It was...
Because I didn't really want to throw the ball too terribly much if he's not going to get any first-team reps or really many reps at all before he goes out there and starts a preseason football game.
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of lets these guys sling it. DTR, and this is all basically in a half. All these numbers, these pass attempts are in a half. 18, 17, 20, 25. Huntley, 20, 22. Kellen Mond got 24 passes in a half. Dobbs, 20. And had another game of 20. Rosen, remember him? Remember Josh Rosen? I think he's in the Wharton School of Business now. 20 throws. Didn't stop Stefanski from letting him go to work. Letting him rip. And then the one that was the best. The guy who I didn't know how to pronounce his name. And I think Kyle Lauletta, 23, 23, and 22. So if there's one thing we have seen from Stefanski in preseason games, he is letting young quarterbacks throw all up and down the field.
Do we know what our attempts or do we know our yards per attempt is on those?
I mean, these guys were allowed to launch. I mean, I got a number of highlights of deep balls and... So, I don't know. I don't know how protective he's going to be of Shador because you and I both know. I mean, he's in year six here with the Browns. Any coach that can make it 6 years with the Browns should normally feel pretty good about where they're at and you'd think can walk around feeling secure in their own skin. With that said, you don't think these clips are making it back to him. Hugh Douglas, hostage situation. Lewis Riddick, sabotage. Like the cavalcade of former players who are clearly in the camp of Shador over everybody else.
I never thought, I never will think, they will put the screws to a player on purpose. But, well, the exceptional one, I do think, but that was back in the day. This regime, I never will think that they will put the screws to a player on purpose. I never said they wouldn't mess it up on their own right trying to do the best thing. There's been a lot of great laid plans that end up turning up to bupkis. 216-474-0092. Cam in Cleveland, hello.
Hey, Cam in Lima. I just want to say I love you guys.
Thank you.
From a fan perspective, I just got to tell you guys this. I just spent yesterday, just got out of the shower, did my thing after work, was watching a Baker Mayfield edit on TikTok. I know Baker Mayfield, everyone threw him out of Cleveland, I understand it. I'm sitting there tearing up. I'm tearing up over a Baker Mayfield edit right now. And on TikTok, just a TikTok edit, I'm literally tearing up as a fan. I cannot believe that we are in this situation right now. It's ridiculous. I feel like this ownership, this team, I feel like nobody cares about the city of Cleveland. And as a fan, for how much we put into this city, for how much that we care about this team, it's ridiculous. I just want the coach, I just want the GM to give us something in a interview. That's it. They can't give us anything in an interview to media or anything like that. I'm so upset as a fan and just totally disgruntled. And it's awful.
Cam,
it's awful. Love you guys.
Cam, I can hear the frustation, Cam. I appreciate your kindness.
Preseason game number one.
So I'm gonna let you go, but I want you to turn up the radio because I'm gonna say this to you. I'm gonna say this to everybody else. In my truest, absolute hand to God opinion. I know you guys accuse me of different. I'm talking about you guys being Lima and Owen and Keith and everybody to rile me up.
And anyone that knows anything.
Oh, kiss my ass on Euclid. However, let me just say this real quick before we go to break. In my honest opinion, you're probably going to be in this type of purgatory, Cam's purgatory, until next April. Until next April. And then we'll pick ourselves up. We'll dust ourselves off. And we will try to roll with that next guy who we hope is a franchise QB. And we will hope that they do not make the same mistakes they did with Baker Mayfield. And I will dust off all those different arguments that we had about Baker Mayfield and bringing him along, and we'll do it with the next guy and hope that they get it right then. That's about as soon as it is. This year is as frustrating as this is right now at times. In so many ways, I find it to be house money.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, we had a sweep in Queens yesterday. The Guardians were victorious in a 4-1 decision that was highlighted by the near no-hitter thrown by Gavin Williams. 8 1/3 innings, Williams went without allowing a hit until Juan Soto, much like October of last season, took the Guardians deep to center field, a ball that Williams, after the game, disclosed that he thought might have been catchable by Angel Martinez.
At first, I thought it was a really high pop-up because he had some high ones, but so Angel kept running and hopefully he was going to get under it, but kept carrying.
Now, Ken, you put up our text exchange on Twitter yesterday if it would have been more painful if Soto or Francisco Lindor, who struck out in the previous at-bat before Soto, had hit the home run. I think I'm on the other side of you. I think Lindor would have been worse.
Why?
Because having the guy on your team previously and then allowing him to go via a trade, not even free agency, a trade, would have been worse than even if it's the guy that took you out of the playoffs last year. It makes you think of what could have been. If he's on your team yesterday, the no-hitter is intact.
Do you think he would have pimped it?
I don't think he would have pimped it. I think he's more of an experienced vet compared to Soto, who's only been in the league a few years after Lindor got to the majors. I don't think he would have pimped it.
Soto can be a goofball. I know. He does the, what was that? What's that thing he did in the box and they got thrown at by Clayton?
Soto shuffle? Or?
Yeah.
He also, like, you could tell he smiled as he was, like, looking towards the ball in center field yesterday as he was going to second base. The Guardians broadcast showed that. The Mets broadcast did not.
I'd be much more upset. I was much more upset that it was Juan Soto. And then I thought, well, again, at least it wasn't some call-up from AAA who ended up hitting the home run. Because Juan Soto's expected to be a really great baseball player. Francisco Lindor, my angst towards him has dissipated. I got my own situations to deal with. He plays in the National League. I got no ill will. They came here last year, and he had nice things to say about the city. It's like, all right, let's just let this all go. Maybe if we played him in the World Series, I'd feel differently about it. But I'm not gonna build a statue over Francisco Lindor. I'm not gonna lavish him with praise. But my anger with Francisco Lindor or any sort of ill will, that's all gone. I got other things I got to worry about here.
Yeah, it's been a while. I just looked up just to check in on Frankie, see how he's doing. And it is very interesting.
Francisco, thank you.
He is a 5-time All-Star, a 4-time Silver Slugger Award. And though every time I see him, I'm like, I thought he was going to be better. I thought he was going to be like a lot better, actually. I thought he was going to be a total superstar when he came into the league. Is he still considered a superstar?
I mean, he's definitely a household name.
Dude, I know you're just checking in on him. They love him over there. Mets fans love him. They are a critical bunch, Mets fans are, but they really, like, there's guys saying, like, one of the all-time great Mets now. Like, yeah, they love him. They love him over there. Well, not as much Juan Soto. Sorry, go ahead, Mitch.
That's all right. It's hard to be better than Gavin Williams was yesterday, and he talked about the growth that he's had because he struggled early on this season and looks to be dialed in so far at the three-quarters point.
Just going to the pitching lab, all the pitching coaches helping me out day in and day out, even the video guys. I mean, they're amazing helping me do what I'm doing, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here.
Is Gavin on track to become the new Guardians ace?
It seems he has the best stuff.
I think it's either him or Ciccone.
He has the best stuff. What'd you say, Ciccone? Maybe
either him or Ciccone. Wow. One of the two.
Who'd have thought Ciccone at the beginning of the year?
I agree with Mitch there. Yeah, I think it's Ciccone.
Hell's really frozen over.
Yeah,
if you
I think
agree
Gavin's
with
close, but
did we win the Naylor trade officially.
I'd say so, considering the guy's not in Arizona anymore.
It's just kind of funny how that was what they were lambasted the most about, just giving away Naylor. And now we've got someone who you're asking if they could be the ace.
I don't know that you can say we won it just because they traded him away, but we've definitely gotten a nice return on it.
Yes, we have.
Going from that to yesterday's practice in Carolina, head coach Kevin Stefanski confirmed that Shador Sanders will start for the Friday preseason opener. And with a number of these starters expected to be out for the game, including some of his weapons on the offense, Coach Stefanski not worried if Sanders in the second team offense faces off on Friday.
May have some ones going against twos, twos going against ones. You could have different guys in there at different times. But I think both sides, particularly in that first game, it's all about playing fast. So typically don't see a ton of looks that are unusual per se. So if you stick to your rules and you stick to what you've been taught over the last few weeks, you should be able to operate and function well.
Would have been nice to get some first team reps in there yesterday to try and get him more prepared for Friday night.
Couldn't have got him a couple.
Yesterday, Kenny, we were screaming at each other as usual about the state of affairs in that quarterback room. And we were wondering, Canales,
it's tearing our family apart.
It really was. And Canales did say it looks like the starting defense, like he could be going up against starting defense for a couple of series.
Okay, if he does well, get ready.
Of course, doesn't have Judy, Tillman, whatever, but that is wide receiver one and number two.
If he does well, I'm going to feel so good tomorrow night because it's going to be Shador played well. The hope of being able to collect all these goodies in the draft and starting anew is right there. And I can feel better about my head coach. I can feel better about that. Tomorrow actually means something. When is the last time a preseason game meant anything? Probably when I was making a big deal about them being 4-0 in the preseason. We saw that ended up. Oh, boy.
Regardless of whether Shador plays well, do you take stock in whether the Browns actually win their preseason games still?
Absolutely not.
But would it make you feel better in a game like this where Sanders actually plays pretty decently and they were able to pull off a victory that I'm not sure, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if Browns fans are expecting them to have any shot of being on the winning end of this game.
I don't back down, by the way, from that when I say that about Hugh Jackson. He hates me so much, apparently, but I was backing him up on that. I know what he was trying to do, and he knew what he was trying to do. He had a bunch of guys who were. And I'm not going to say because some of them, I'm not going to rip them too much because some of them are still in the area, obviously. But he had a bunch of guys that he knew were not of NFL caliber. And he knew he had to kind of do rah-rah stuff to get them going. That's why there was this is how you get your stripe. This is how you do this stuff. And like he had to do it. And that's where preseason games did matter to that team. But Not to this team. We are past
now
that.
Now we just want to make this one forgettable.
That's it for About Last Night. This was a forgettable About Last Night.